glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for July 20th, 2023.
I'm your host, Donna Leland. Mentors seem to be few and far between in our world today. Someone who wants to come alongside another believer and encourage them in the faith is rare. Today on Mark and Friends, we examine the life of Howard Hendricks. He was a beloved teacher at Dallas Theological Seminary for many years. And to help us is author Mina Mora, writer and journalist and author of a biography on Howard Hendricks entitled The Influential Mentor from Moody Publishers. Welcome, Mina, to Mark and Friends.
How are you doing, Don? It's good to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for chiseling out a little bit of your schedule to help us understand really what made Howard Hendricks tick and what was it that made him so special that you would want to write a book about him.
Man, he was an incredible leader, first of all, Donna. Number one, an incredible man, an incredible family guy, but he was also very simple. And so it was one of those kind of things where I knew from the jump start that I had to make this project simple. I had to make sure that the average reader could pick it up, Donna, and go, okay, I may not know who he is, but by the time they got done reading, they would know that he loved the Lord and that he was a man who wanted everyone to know who God was.
Mm. You know, I remember hearing a story about his early years and how he was really mentored by a Sunday school teacher, I guess, who took him and another kid on and poured into their life.
Yeah. Now, this is an incredible story, Donna. I've got to tell a little bit of background, too. It was actually a school teacher of his named Mrs. Noe, who changed his life. Literally, you know, he walks in Mrs. Noe's class. I mean, he is a terrible, terrible student. No one wanted him. He was always in trouble all the time. He walks into the classroom and goes, I bet you've heard about me. That's what he does. And the teacher goes, I sure have. Like, I've heard that you are a great person. I've heard that you can pull this off, Howard. And what ends up happening, I'm sitting here at home on a Saturday morning. I'm in the midst of doing all this work on Howard Hendricks. And I get a call from a guy named Phil Tuttle. I don't know if you know who Phil is or not, but he leads Walk Through the Bible, Donna. And Phil goes, it's a Saturday morning, so I'm really surprised to get a call. And he goes, Mina, you won't believe what happened. And I'm thinking, what happened, Phil? He goes, I've met Mrs. Noe's granddaughter. Like, she is at the same function that I'm at, Mina. And so I got a chance to talk to Grace, is her name. And I said, Grace, tell me about your grandmother. And she said, Mina, here's the bottom line here. I've heard all about Howard Hendricks. She goes, but what a lot of folks may not know is that my grandmother was going through the worst time in her life, in fact. She had been divorced. Her husband walked out on her, left her with all the kids. So she's teaching school to just feed her family. When she meets Howard, it's the worst time in her life, but it's also the worst time in his life, too. And Howard has been very clear in saying that she changed his life.
We're looking into the life of Howard Hendricks today on Mark and Friends. And maybe you're not familiar with Howard Hendricks, a beloved Bible teacher at the Dallas Theological Seminary there at the end. Here's a little taste of Howard Hendricks speaking at Moody Bible Institute's Founders Day.
Make sure that the size of your God is the size of who he really is to you. The size of your God will determine not only your life and ministry, but also your theology. Big God, big salvation. Little God, little salvation. I'm not really sure, but I'm working at it, and I hope I'll make the grade. Big God, big sin. Little God, little sin. It's not so bad. He'll certainly forget it. Let me ask you tonight, what is your image of God like? Is it one who needs you more than you need him? Is it a user-friendly God? A cosmic bellboy who is always accessible to you when you call? Is he one who elicits no fear? Or is he the God who's steeped in biblical soil and before whom we stand in awe? In John chapter 1, the writer says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the Father, full of grace and truth." The longer you look at Jesus, the more you will understand the question of our theme: who is God? And I want to take a long look at Jesus tonight, the one who is fully man, but fully God, who said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one." And may I remind you that the life of Christ is the life that the Holy Spirit is committed to reproduce in your life and in mine.
The voice of Howard Hendricks on Mark and Friends, and we're learning about his life with some help with Mina Mora. And he has written the book, The Influential Mentor, How the Life and Legacy of Howard Hendricks Equipped and Inspired a Generation of Leaders. Mina, let's go back to his early years.
Howard was literally born brought into a family where his mom didn't want him. I mean, can you imagine that?
No.
He literally overhears her say, "This is the biggest mistake that I've ever made. I don't want him." I mean, he literally overhears that. His grandmother was a driving force in his life, spiritually, paternally wise, in a lot of other ways as well. And she's the one who brings him up, in fact. So it's one of those things where he comes onto the scene in a place where no one wanted him. So, I mean, and he turns out to be this incredible professor man who ends up mentoring a generation of leaders.
Did he have a father?
Only God. Mm-hmm. His dad was not involved in his life either. And so just imagine, it's him and his grandmother, and he's having to, you know, make sure that his grandfather does not gamble away the money to feed the family. And so there's a lot of just dysfunction all around here. His father was a military man. They do reconcile at the end of his life. It's an incredibly beautiful story where they both reconcile. His father ends up coming to know Jesus, in fact, and Howard plays a part in that, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so they do reconcile, but at the very jump start, his father is nowhere to be found either. And so this is, when you look up the word dysfunctional, Howard Hendricks' name could be right next to it.
Now, who was the spiritual influence in his life? Did grandmother take him to church?
Grandmother did. She was the one who said, "You know what? This is what I've been given." And she never reminded Howard of it. In fact, she was very kind, very loving. I mean, she steps into the gap where mom and dad are gone, grandfather is a drunk, And she literally says, I'm going to be the one to take him on. And she does.
Here's another sample of the ministry of Howard Hendricks as he teaches at Moody Bible Institute.
So if you'll turn to the passage in John chapter 4, let's take a moment just to get the story before us. Many of you know it. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 31, this is what we read. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. No preparation. There were also other boats with him who could confirm the incident. And a furious squall came up and the waves broke open the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the storm, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we perish? May I remind you, this is the voice of a collection of professional fishermen. They had seen that sea grow tempest in a short period of time. Remember, it's over 690,000 feet below sea level. And those cool airs would come over the mountains, and the ravines would act like funnels to drive the wind on that storm. And in a relatively short time, even to this day, if you have ever been there and seen it, you will see a tempestuous sea in a short period of time. And so Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, be still, quiet. And the text says, then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. My friend, they were seeing a twofold miracle. Not only the miracle of the calming of the storm, but the miracle of the calming of the water. If you have ever been on a ship in a severe course, you understand that the water does not become calm immediately after the storm subsides. It's often hours and sometimes days before it becomes calm again. But this is the work of the supernatural. And so he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. He's able to control what we, a group of professionals, cannot control. Let's examine the lessons from this passage of Scripture. There are three seminal answers to three seminal questions that are raised in the question, in the passage. Number one, always listen to what God says and obey it. That's an answer to the question, what did Christ say? They had just completed listening to the world's greatest teacher teach for all day long, the basic theme of which was, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Be careful how you hear. You need to understand that the hardest lesson to teach an individual is how to listen. It's a piece of cake to teach a person how to speak, but how to listen is very difficult. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." But they thought he said, "Let's go to the middle of the lake and drown." And that's why they said, "Don't you even care that we are in the process of perishing? At least you could get up and help to bail out." They took an exam and they flunked it. Got the blue book back with a great big F on it, which did not stand for faith. See, Jesus understood you don't learn faith in a classroom. You don't learn it except in life. And so he gave them the kind of exam we never give in seminary. We give the typical exam in which the student crams all of the stuff in his head and then goes into class and dumps it all on a piece of paper. The reason he does is he's worked out a little plan. I call it BUDAK, B-U-D-A-K. 5 things you got to remember, that's how you remember. And he goes in BUDAK, boo, 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 BUDAK. Writes it down fast so that he won't forget it. 2 weeks he gets the paper back and there's a great big A on it. He's a scholar. 2 days later, if his life depended on it, he couldn't pass the exam. Jesus never gave an exam like that.
You can see why his students loved him, because he knew exactly what they were coming from. Maya, you had to interview quite a few people, didn't you, to get all this information, the background on Howard Hendricks?
We sat down with about 100 different leaders, and one of the things that kept coming up over and over again was he was a great listener. He would literally get in the car, according to Chip Ingram, the author speaker, and he would get into the car, he would ask a question or two, and he would let the mentee do the talking. That's how gentle he was, and occasionally he would interject with some advice, but it was never based out of rudeness or I'm coming in with my way. This is the best way. You guys get it down. That never happened. He was always, always gentle and kind and an incredible listener. And his wife, to be fair, we wouldn't have this book if it wasn't for Mrs. Hendricks. Mrs. Hendricks gets to meet Howard in college. And she said one of the things that just drew her to him was that he was a great listener and very, very kind and very, very gentle.
Now, she played a huge role in just encouraging him to carry out his dreams as a professor.
She wouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. There would be no Howard Hendricks without Mrs. Hendricks. It's kind of one of those things where we all know that behind every great leader is usually, Donna, a great spouse. If there is a front row leader, behind that front row leader is usually someone behind the scenes cheering them on, Donna. Mm. And that is exactly what Mrs. Hendricks does here.
That's wonderful. Now, he loved people. He loved mentoring. Can you share a story with us that illustrates his love for the people and those he mentored?
Chip Ingram is probably one of the better ones. And there's so many. Donna, I can't even say that. There's so many just great ones out there. But Chip literally comes to know Jesus late in life. He decides to take on seminary. And he's literally wanting to quit. And Howard comes along at a pretty dark time in his life. You know, Chip does not come from a spiritual family background. So he's learning all of this on the cuff. And Howard sees that. And Howard, according to Chip, Howard just instills in him the "you can do this" mode. There's another story, if I could tell you another one here, about this guy named Jermaine Jones. Jermaine Jones is an African-American pastor. So just kind of imagine this. Howard's older. Jermaine comes to Howard later in his teaching career, and Jermaine is like, hey, I want to do hip hop music. And Howard is like, I've never heard of that before, but if you think God can use you with that, then let's go. That's just the kind of leader that he just was. And so Howard would literally meet the mentor at their level. So wherever they were at, Howard didn't look at them and go, hey, you need to get here. Howard brought them along. One of his characteristics that I thought of his life that just kind of stood out was he opened doors for so many people, Don.
Name some of those people.
Because there's so many. But one story really stands out. That is Tony Evans. Like, literally, Tony gets to the seminary. He wants to go there. And it was during a time in life that is not like it is today, where America was just divided racially. And so DTS was not accepting people of color into their school at that time. This is the 60s,
wow.
I believe. Howard makes a bold stand and just says, no, I want Tony to come in to the school. And Mrs. Hendricks tells a story, and she says, you know, Mina, he didn't talk a lot about, you know, what went on at school when he came home. But it was one of those things where he came home just very angry, according to Mrs. Hendricks, going, we have got to let this student in. And he was one of the driving forces to get Tony in at that time. And he doesn't just do that and just get him into the school. He also opens the door. When he gets done being the Dallas Cowboys chaplain, Donna, he literally says, Tony needs to come after me. Tony and his son still serve as a chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys, even to this day.
We've been talking with Mina Mora here on Mark and Friends. And Mina, it's been an absolute joy getting to know you and your work, a biography on Howard Hendricks. It's called The Influential Mentor, and this is through Moody Publishers. Thanks so much for joining us.
Don, thank you for having me. I got to tell you, it's a joy to talk about this project. Thank you for having me today.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.